actually here to listen to us, although I appreciate the
enthusiasm. Yes, I am.
Oh. I appreciate the enthusiastic applause nonetheless. This is called Your Stories, but we always like to start the night out with someone kind of connected to the Nerdalog, someone who's done it before, you know, to kind of show us all how it goes. So this fellow, Nerdalog's Emeritus, member of Rabbit Rabbit, great guy, Andrew Bentley. Yay!
Hi, everybody. It's really good to be back, first of all. I haven't been here in, like, 8 months, which was way, way longer than I intended to not be here. But the problem is that every month I waited, I felt like more and more pressure built up to come back with, like, something really great and really well-written. And every time I kind of missed that, I was like, I'll just do it next month. And finally that became almost insurmountable, so I decided to just come in and off the cuff this evening. I know. All right. I'm. Who said boo? All right. Okay. So without further ado, I interpreted actually fingers crossed less as a luck and more like the sign for lying. My personal relationship with truth has always been kind of a complicated one. I hate lies, I hate liars, I hate lying, sometimes. For me, I feel like all kids have kind of the same relationship with truth, which is a near sociopathic one, where, like, it's not so much about any absolute value of the truth. It's more about self-preservation. I feel like there's, it's more of like a theoretical construct for kids than it is like actually like a discrete object. It's more like, you know, like dinosaurs or taxes or like naked kissing. It's just like one of those concepts that you hear about and you're like, oh yeah, okay, sure, that'll become relevant eventually somewhere down the line. I feel like, as a kid, at least, you know, for me, and I think for most kids, it's kind of like there's a flow chart in your brain for basically everything you say up until the age of 10, which is just like, will this get me in trouble? No? Okay. Yes, don't say it. And for some of us, there's like an additional little line on that, which is like, but is it funny? And then we spend a lot of time in detention. But there was a moment where my take on that changed, and it had to do a lot with my dad, because my dad, well, it was I mean, I guess not easy, but it was as easy as with most to get my dad angry. I mean, I did plenty of things to get my dad angry, like I peed in a super soaker and when I ran out of water and used that. Like, that got my dad angry, but he got over. And I realized at some point in my life, the only thing that really seemed to hurt my dad was when I lied to him. And as I grew up, I think I came to understand why that was, which is... And it's something we don't really seem to engage with much when we talk about lying. I mean, it's disrespectful, you know, it's manipulative, it's frustrating to labor under misinformation, but it's also very weirdly insidious in an almost parasitic way, you know, how a lie, it perverts, like, the very mechanism by which you perceive reality. You know, it alienates you from your peers who are laboring under, you know, different apprehensions, and it kind of subverts your own perception for the cause of the person doing it, and can be a very violating thing in a way we don't really appreciate. And I think that was something that my dad was responding to, and so that was one thing he drove into my head, you know, over and over and over again. Like, he loved me with all of my many faults, but the one thing he could not stand was me lying about things. And so eventually I internalized that, and I became basically incapable of lying to people. The both good and bad. Because I think saying there's an absolute truth doesn't necessarily imply any sort of positive or negative value judgment on that truth. I think we all agree that there's times when it's acceptable to lie. I mean, we call them, you know, white lies or job interviews, or, you know, whatever. I don't think, you know, Oskar Schindler would be more fondly remembered as that really honest Nazi with second thoughts that we found buried in a ditch in 1945. So I think it's okay to lie sometimes. As a society, we've kind of accepted that there are times it's appropriate, it's better to lie, but I still have trouble with that. And in theater especially, that can be it can be really hard not to be able to say the simple phrase, "Hey, really good show, I enjoyed that." And instead you find yourself going, "Oh man, the sound design on that was crazy." Oh gosh, wow. And so I wish I was better at that. Now, I said I hate lying sometimes, because there's a catch to that. Most people seem to separate out their ability to lie by, you know, good lie, bad lie. I've kind of separated out by, do I know this person? If I've met the person face to face, if I know their name, I can't get it out. I can't lie to them. If they're a stranger, I will lie with an unsurpassed glee, like, unseen outside of, like, Caligula and Bacchanalia. Like, I will lie for the dumbest, simplest reason. I will lie because it will make a conversation, like, 10 seconds shorter. They'd be like, "Oh, did you see that? Oh, no, I've never heard of that. Oh, okay, never mind." Which is maybe not a good instinct to have. But that's how I've chosen to parse these things out. And I think part of that is due to a few really bad experiences. And I want to kind of end this by talking about one of those in particular. When I was in 11th grade, my friend Mike Newman invited me over New Year's Eve to come down with him and his family to their beach house in North Carolina, which seemed like an okay, fun thing. And of course, I'm, 11th grade, I hear beach house, and I seem like, oh yeah, cool, and we'll be like, girls and, parties and everything. Well, it's the beach in North Carolina in January. So there's no one. It was me and Mike and his mom and his mom's boyfriend. And so come New Year's Eve, we are playing Trivial Pursuit inside, and midnight rolls around, and his mom and his mom's boyfriend, go off and, like, they pour themselves some champagne and they have a toast and they go off to the window to, like, look out and share a kiss, and Mike and I are just kind of hanging out. And my parents were cool about, giving me, like, small amounts of alcohol. It was part of their policy that I would, I would drink a little bit before college and then I wouldn't freak out when I got to college. So I've had champagne before and I'm kind of bummed out. So I'm like, and I reach over and maybe a bad decision. I take, some of the flute of champagne and have a sip. I'm like, oh, happy New Year's to me. And put it down. And she turns around right as I'm putting down this glass. And she's like, did you just have some of my champagne? And without thinking, I go, oh no, I was going for this Trivial Pursuit piece. I was just moving the glass out of the way. Because my mind was like, oh, no, harmless lie, whatever. It'll make this easier. Like, don't have to have this conversation. And she looks at me suspiciously, and she goes, Mike? And Mike goes, oh, no, he didn't. It was fine. She goes, Mike Franet. And my reaction was probably what most of your reaction is, which is, oh, that's a weird thing to say. Like, Franet to you as well. But Mike's response is, he, like, just close his eyes and go, Mom, don't do this. And she's like, Mike, Franet. And I'll fill you in. I quickly learned over the course of the ensuing, like, 2-hour lecture I received that Franet was code word in the Newman family for you have to tell the truth. And just as I had my own sort of concept of, you know, truth and lying, when it's okay to lie, so did the Newman family. And one of those is they had a code word for when this is vitally important. Now, was it vitally important that she knew whether I had some of that champagne? Maybe not. But this was the way Mike was raised, and he bought into this, so reluctantly he admitted to his mom that, yes, I had some of the champagne. And she proceeded to lecture me for a good 2 hours on a variety of topics. The Trivial Pursuit game was thrown well to the side. That was over. And this only ended when, finally, out of complete bewilderment, I, after, you know, a good 2 hours of this, not seeing any end to it, I was like, okay, let's see if you can make yourself cry, and maybe that'll stop this. And so, for the first and last only time in my life, as a 16-year-old boy, I made myself cry so Mike Newman's mom would stop yelling at me. Which, while dishonest, I like to think, falls under that same category of white lies. And person, we may all have our different opinions on what falls under that category. And see, if I'd written this, I would have a really great wrap-up right about now. Fran it. No, but I'll simply end that it's really great to be back. I'm glad to see a full house here. And thank you for welcoming me back and letting me get on stage.
I'm going to call you Andrew Off the Cuff Bentley. The things that you come up with not prepared, man. It's good. Sometimes I find myself like genuinely complimenting like a show I've seen by saying, "Oh man, the lighting design was really good," and it feels like disingenuous. It feels like I'm saying the rest of the show was shitty. Like sometimes I'm not, but usually I am. That's true. That's